Welcome to the What's Your Weird Story podcast.
Everyone has at least one good story.
And some of us have stories that are just to the left of normal.
We're interested in the ones that push the boundaries of what we can perceive.
Stories that defy explanations.
Stories with an air of mystery.
Stories we might not share.
For fear of being thought of differently.
But don't worry. We're all friends here. So, what's your weird story?
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the What's Your Weird Story podcast. I'm your host, Barry Johnston, with my co-host, Mr. Adam Beebe. What's up, Adam?
Thank you, Barry. Thank you for that exciting announcement. You're jazzed. You're good to go, man. You're excited for this.
Yeah, I am, because this is kind of like in my ballpark, man. We've got a friend of yours on the podcast today, and he's got some pretty cool stories about, you know, kind of the weird and odd world of touring in bands, which I can relate to, and you can relate to. We've both done our fair share of touring, and it just seems like you become a magnet for weird stuff, man.
You know what I mean? Really does. It really does, man.
It's like every weirdo comes out of the closet, you know, for whatever reason. When you're in a band, they kind of just attach themselves to you, so you get some cool, weird stories, you know?
Yeah, and you know, you also get some really cool, weird friends out of it, too, you know? Justin's not one of the weirdos, but he definitely has had some weird experiences.
Yeah.
But yeah, whenever I was touring with Art Lord and the Self-Portraits, they are now a much better band without me, called Future Islands. And back then, you know, we go and play house shows, and we go all these places, and you know, like you said, man, weird things that happen. We ended up in upstate New York one time at a venue called the Garage of Doom or Death or something like that.
That's a great place
and,
to be.
Oh, dude, it was great. And the booker's name was Crack. And so we show up for this show. And it's during spring break, because some of the band members in our band were on spring break. So they booked a tour to go up north during spring break. And we went to this college town, and they were also on spring break. So there was hardly anybody around. There weren't any flyers for the show. And we went to the local record store and asked the clerk there, hey, can we put these flyers up? And he's like, yeah. And he's like, where are you guys playing? And we told him we're playing, you know, the Garage of Doom. And he's like, huh, that's funny. I live there, and
he lives at the garage.
Nobody at the house seems to know that there's a show going on
that's
tonight.
That's always a good sign.
Yeah, yeah, and well, you know, and they're like, "Who booked it?" And like, I didn't know who booked it. I'm just there with William, the bass player. The guy's like, "Who booked it?" And he's like, "Crack. Crack is the guy that I booked the show." And I turned and looked at him. I was like, you know, because you know when you got a guy named Crack booking your shows.
Yeah, it's you know? Probably not going to be a solid deal. You might show up, and there might not be a show.
So the guy's like, okay, well, go on out to the house and just let yourself in. Nobody's going to be there because everybody's at work. But just go on out to the house. Yeah. He gave us directions. And just let yourself in. So we go on out to the house. It's just outside of town in this old farmhouse. And it's got this huge barn connected to it. And that's the Garage of Doom.
Okay.
So we go inside. And this house is just, it's a really cool old house. But the entire decorative scheme is slasher movie.
Oh, wow. That's
a dude, it is like, dude. It's like, you know, it's metal is what it is. Yeah, you know, it's got like, you know, Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie poster. And then all these, you know, classic slasher film posters and memorabilia and all this stuff around. And we're looking around, and I'm, you know, a little bit older than the boys. And everybody's kind of like looking around real slow, taking all this in. And one of them turns over to me and says, "We're going to die here."
Yeah, you are.
So we didn't die. We had a show. The guys that live there got there they came home, they started calling around, telling people that there was a show coming on, like 45 minutes before the show was going to start, this massive storm front rolled in, and it's just like a hurricane over land. It's just pouring down. So we're just hanging out with two or three dudes that live there, one of their friends, and we're just, you know, hanging around the kitchen table, drinking beer. And this goes on. And so finally, one of the guys that live there says, hey, so like it's midnight. You guys want to play or what? And so we just take.
How many people were there at that time?
There was four people in the band. There was three people in the audience.
Okay.
And and you know what? It was a great and fun show.
Oh, that's great.
And it was a fun night. And it got even weirder afterwards. And we disappeared for about half an hour. And just, but it wasn't aliens. He just passed out on a bed in a hallway. So,
oh, man.
So I kind of hijacked that intro there. Oh, please, but,
man. It's great. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that just happens to you when you're on the road, you know? But yeah, so what a way to kick off the fifth episode.
Yeah, man. All right, Barry, we've got my friend Justin calling in from Florida, and he's got a couple of stories that take place on the road in the band. And as you and I both have quite a lot of experience with that, so these are always fun stories. So, Justin, what's your weird story?
All right. When we were first talking, and I was thinking about, like, just the people that we were surrounded by from that time period. And it reminded me of this one odd night where myself, Brian Buchanan, who is, if you're not familiar with him, he's a brilliant artist. He's a great painter. And Jesse McGill and Mike Walters, who also two very talented guys, we were holed up in this hotel room in the western part of North Carolina. That was it was a dry county, and we'd gotten quite a bit of beer, but you know, we're a bunch of Greenville guys, and there's never enough. So we ran out at about midnight.
That's a very true statement about, you know, Greenville is—it's never enough.
Never enough. You know? So you think you have enough, it just all disappears so quickly. And so I had this idea. You know, none of us wanted—we're all drunk. We didn't want to go driving around the woods in an unfamiliar territory, trying to figure out where the county line was so that we could get more booze. And so I had this idea. I said, "Okay, I'm gonna order a pizza, and when the guy gets here, maybe I can bribe him, you know." And so I order a pizza, and the pizza guy shows up and says, "Hey, man, you know what? How many more deliveries you got tonight?" He was like, "This is my last one." I said, "You know what? Do you know where to get alcohol? You know where to buy beer?" And he goes, "I do." I said, "Well, we're not from here." I said, "You know, if I give you $25, will you go get some booze for us and come back and bring it back, and I'll give you another $25 when you get back here?" And he goes, "Yeah, I'll do that." I said, "Great." And I give him $25 and he leaves. And you know, Buchanan goes, "Well, man, you just gave that guy the best tip of the night. He's never gonna see him again." You know? And well, I'll be damned, you know, like 35 minutes later, he's back and he's got a bunch of beer. And I said, "Whoa, great, welcome back, you know, and come on in." And he sits down and he cracks one open with us, and we get talking to him, and he starts telling us about how he got kicked out of the military, and I said, "Well, what'd you get kicked out of the military for?" And he's like, "Oh, I can't talk about it. He goes, "But check this out," and he walks down, you know, he goes, "You guys look out the door," and he walks downstairs to his car, and he opens up the trunk of his car, his pizza delivery car, and he pulled out an assault rifle, and he goes, "I kept the gun," you know.
That's great.
Taking a good turn, you know.
This is a good time right now.
Yeah, this is.
So then, and then we also, it was one of those, okay, so, We had a little We had a little weed, and but we didn't have anything to smoke it with, and I had this girl hanging around, and she says, I have a potato, and I said, what? And she goes, well, watch this. I heard about this one. That, and she gets a pocket knife and a potato, and she cuts like a little notch out of it, and makes like a little bowl. And it was like a sweet potato, you know. It was like, and I'll be damned if like the five of us, we smoked out of that potato, you know.
Got to do what you got to do, man.
Yeah.
Why did she have a random sweet potato?
I don't know why she had the potato.
I mean, I understand an apple, you know, something like that, a piece of fruit, but you know, a ground vegetable gourd kind of thing. Well, there you go. That's a miracle in itself. So,
as the night wore on, and things kind of quieted down, and people kind of started kind of, you know, like the pizza guy left, and you know, and she'd left, and it's just, you know, just me and the guys hanging out. It was our first time all getting together in a while, and so at some point, Buchanan says, "Oh, you know what? I figured out." And I said, "What?" And he goes, "I'm figured out. I'm psychic." He just kind of drops it on us. I said, "What?" And you know, me and Mike Walters, you kind of laugh. And he goes, "No, I'm serious. I'm absolutely serious." And I said, "Okay, I'm listening." You know, I go, "Well, how's it work?" And he goes, "Well, I could show you." And I said, "Yeah, please do." And he goes, "Okay." And so he sends. He sends Jesse to one side of the room, and Brian goes to the other side of the room, and he says, "Okay, what we're going to do is we're both going to draw something. I'm going to say go, and you draw something, and you keep on drawing it until I say stop, and then I'll say go again, and you draw something new, and we'll just do that like a few times." And he goes, "And the only thing I ask is really concentrate on what you're drawing, you know." And he did this whole routine that he did to kind of get himself in the headspace he needed to be in. So he goes, "Okay, go." They're both drawn, you know. "Stop, go," you know. We did it three times, and so then he says, "Okay, don't show me what you drew, or don't tell me anything. What I'm going to do is I'm going to show you what I drew, and I'll explain why I drew it. And then you guys can decide, you know, from there." And I said, "Okay." And I have the drawings. And the first one was this. I don't know if you can see it real well. And so
okay.
He goes, "Don't pay attention to these bottom things. This is what I kept seeing. I kept seeing this over and over again. You know, these little arrows. You know, they're looking to the right. The right one was more detailed than the left one, and I just kept on seeing it over and over again." I'm like, "Okay." And he goes, "The second thing is," he goes, "the second drawing." He shows us this little tree.
Okay.
Right?
Yep.
And he goes, "I just saw this tree."
Okay, so before we get too far, describe a little bit more about the drawing there, since we're not a visual podcast yet.
Oh, okay.
The first one kind of looks like birds, or like a paper airplane or something. Or
Yeah, they look like
two little winged arrows.
Yeah.
But with, you know, pointing to the right, with the shaft going all the way through the point. Through the whole thing, but like the tip, the feathered end tip being in the middle rather than at the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, with the shaft. So.
Okay. And so the tree is, you know, it's like a, you know, like a broccoli style tree, you know, mm-hmm. like, and,
little kid.
And, with a little horizon, little horizon line.
Yeah.
And, you know, surrounded by what I thought were stars.
Yeah. That's what I thought, as you showed us too, that like stars.
So the third drawing, he did this he did this black oval, right? And he says it is this vertical black oval.
Yeah.
And I just kept on seeing this shape over and over again, just over and over again. I kept on seeing this shape, and that's why I drew it. And at that point, Jesse goes, Brian Psychic. I said, okay, Brian says, okay, you show us what you drew and so we'll figure out from there. I was like, okay. So Jesse shows us the first drawing and he drew a face, right?
Okay.
And he goes,
that's so a pretty good face also.
Yeah.
Pretty good face. And he goes, so I drew the face, but I spent all, like, you know, everything was just kind of sketched in as an afterthought, but I spent all the time on the eyes and drew the left one first without much detail, and I spent almost the whole rest of the time drawing the right one. And you'll notice is that the eyes are,
yeah, show us again.
They're pointed in the same direction as the arrows, okay. The winged arrows, yep. that he drew, you know. So, you know, there's some room for interpretation, okay. There.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
It's not a slam dunk, sure. Brian Psychic, that standalone thing. The second drawing was the same tree.
Oh my gosh. Now
there's,
gosh.
You know, so there's, you know, the,
that's okay, a very, yeah. Yeah, that's yeah. A very similar.
He just showed us the tree and it's
a broccoli-style tree. You know, you can draw all kinds of trees. There's pine trees, there's palm trees, there's bush trees, you know, but this is a broccoli tree with a horizon line.
Right. And,
you know, it's pretty similar.
Yeah, honestly, the only difference with the one that he drew compared to the one that Brian drew was that his drawing has a little bit more detail with the limbs.
Yes.
You know, where you can see those in the foreground, but like essentially same thing.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And then the third drawing was an eye, which you'll notice.
Yeah, that's a shape.
Almond shaped. Yep.
Vertical. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
It's the exact same size and dimensions.
No kidding.
As the oval that he drew.
No kidding.
That's pretty wild, dude.
So, but then this is my favorite part of the story. So Brian's like, his needle isn't even moved. You know, he's just like, you know, any old day for him, you know, and he goes, oh, I'm going to smoke a cigarette. And he goes out into the balcony and he's smoking. And Jesse comes up to me and he goes, you want to know, the craziest thing here? I said, what? And he goes, on Brian's tree, he drew raindrops around it. What I thought were stars. Brian told us were raindrops. He goes, he drew raindrops. I said, yeah. And he goes, I was getting ready to draw raindrops when he said stop.
What?
I was getting ready to do the raindrops and Brian said stop and we moved on to the next to the next drawing.
Holy shit.
Now,
did you do this again? Did you ever test this out again, or were you just so freaked out you said fuck it, this guy's psychic?
Yeah, we didn't do it again.
That's pretty incredible though, man. I mean, that's
awesome that you have the drawings still.
No kidding.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
How long ago was that?
Yeah. It was between March and April of 2002.
Wow. Is amazing, man. What a trip.
Yeah. So,
I mean, to get one of the drawings would be pretty remarkable, but the fact that there's a couple in there that are so similar, man, you know, it's just that's cool. That's really cool.
Yeah, yeah. And just the mere fact that, you know, he got the raindrops before they happened.
Yeah,
that, you know,
Brian's full of really great stories that would probably be perfect for what you guys are looking for. You should reach out to him.
Yeah, for real.
Sounds like
definitely it. Have to. Yeah, Brian's a character. Yeah, in himself. So
that's awesome.
Cool. Awesome.
So
So we're looking for a little help from our friends. We need you, our loyal listeners, to help us spread the word about the What's Your Weird Story podcast. Just go to your current podcast provider, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Podbean, YouTube. We're just about everywhere. Hit the subscribe button, download the podcast, give us a thumbs up, hit the like button, give us the highest rating you can, and give us a review. The What's Your Weird Story podcast is a community effort. Without our friends and listeners, it wouldn't be possible to do what we do. So please, help us out by spreading the word.
So now, you've got another story.
Yeah.
Takes place on tour.
Right.
Was it the same tour?
No, this is different. In fact, I think the first story, it wasn't a tour. I think it was, we were in town for, a wedding, one of our, our friends' weddings. But this next one, it was, same group of guys, except minus Buchanan. He wasn't there, but it was like 12 or 16 of us in all, you know, just a bunch of Greenville guys, you know, just out in, we were playing at App State, I believe. And so, so Mike Walters at this time was, you know, he was like one of those, like, you know, ska skinheads, you know, the traditional skinhead, right?
The shark.
It's Sharp. Is an acronym for Skinheads Against Racial Prejudice.
Yeah.
It's so touchy. You know, you never know what.
Well, traditional skinheads were always anti-racism.
Right. Yeah. Right.
It went to the UK, and then it was there, and then that's also unfortunately where it got a lot of the fascist and the kind of crap. So
it started in the UK and during as part of the mod movement.
Right.
Yeah.
And then they got a reputation as tough mm-hmm. characters and
rude boys and all that.
Right. And that got, that was appealing to the National Front, who was a racist nationalist organization in the UK. And so they kind of took the image and, you know, bastardized it to, they wanted their youth to adopt that image. And so then it just kind of, the whole movement became perverted. It made it very difficult for guys like Mike, who are just sweet guys that didn't have a racist bone in their body, and this was the cause of the issue we ran into, is that we were staying in these apartments. People were letting us stay in their apartments, and we're out front, and we're having some drinks and having some smokes and just talking with one another, and this guy walks up, one of the residents there. And he sig hails Mike, and Mike goes, what was that you just did there? And he goes, you know, and the guy was like, well, you know, that's what you like, isn't it? And he got very aggressive about it, and he misunderstood, you know, he made a judgment based on Mike's appearance, and he mistook Mike, you know, as a racist. And so it gets, you know, it's different. You know, I'm trying to give like this quick history lesson to this guy to explain, you know, who Mike is as a person. And it's just not landing, you know, because he's thinking, you know, everyone's perception of skinheads is, you know, punching Geraldo in the nose and American History X and Pomper Stomper and all that stuff, you know, really terrible stuff. And so, so it's just kind of escalating where he and Mike are continuing to argue, and so I decide to try and distract the guy, and I just kind of, I said, man, where are you from? You're going to college here. Where are you from? Are you from this area? You know, where are you from? He goes, no, man. I'm from Texas. I'm from Texas. I said, oh, and I lived in Texas for like a year. So I was, you know, so I was like, okay, this is my in, you know? And I said, oh, well, what part of Texas? I'm from Texas too. And he goes, you know, Houston. He's kind of blowing me off. He's looking right past me as he's answering my questions. You know, but he's like, Houston. I was like, yeah. No, I'm, you know, no one's really from Houston though. Like, where, like, what neighborhood? I'm from Houston too. And he goes, you know, you're not gonna know it. And I was like, yeah, I probably will though. You know, like, you know, where? You know, he goes, Spring. I lived in Spring. You know, Spring, Texas. And I said, yeah, I used to live in Spring. And he goes, what? He goes, oh, you're fucking with me, right? And I said, no, where'd you go to high school? And he goes, I went to Klein High School. I said, I went to Klein High School.
Because this sounds like yeah. The most.
Yeah.
Me too. Yeah. Me too, totally.
He goes, you're just blowing smoke up my ass. I said, I'm not. I said, look, and I happen to be wearing my class ring, and I hold up my hand, and he looks at me, he's like, oh, god damn, you know, like, and Mike is standing there like, how did you defuse the like, it's like you like I had conjured this out of you know, this coincidence, you know, brought it into existence.
That's crazy. So that's,
the guy and Mike, you know, they end up being pals by the end of the night. Really? And a grand old time.
That is crazy. What are the chances of that happening? Lord.
We were just talking to another guy about, you know, just these random, like, the coincidence, you know, mm-hmm. that, and how, you know, like, this is oftentimes, like, you know, it's just coincidences. Like, the reason that it's so bizarre is because, well, all these things shouldn't line up. It doesn't make sense that they line up, and yet they do. And, you know, it's just like, that's, it's just amazing, you know. And that just shows you how small the world is.
Oh, dude, you remember, were you friends with Sasha Miljack?
Do you remember? Yeah, Sasha? I'm pretty sure. Yeah,
that so sounds familiar. Sasha Miljack.
Yeah.
He's from Eastern Europe, and he came to Greenville to be part of the bike scene, and he's like a really great freestyle biker, and he I think now, like, he's kind of transitioned into mountain bikes, and he's, you know, and that's his, like, his he's been very successful at it. And but he was, like, you know, he was homies with, like, Dave Mira and all, and that whole the BMX crew in Greenville, which was a big scene, at that time. And so Sasha was from Slovenia, and he would always, you know, he'd always give everyone a little history lesson on Slovenia every time. You know, he's like, where are you from? He's like, Slovenia, it's very small. There's 3 million people. It's, you know, it's a little north of Italy, and, you know, and you know, because it used to be part of the Czech Republic. I think it's, you know, what he gives. I don't even know if I'm getting it right, but he was, you know, he'd give everyone a little rundown because no one knew where Slovenia was. So fast forward 13 years, and I'm on tour, and my band was we're doing a 2-week tour with the Coffin Cats, and so they had this merch guy with them, and we're getting like 3-4 days into the tour, and I hadn't really spoken with them at length yet, because we're, you know, like, the merch tables, they don't always get set up next to each other, and I'm not always running it, and anyway, so this particular night. We're sharing a booth, and I think, okay, you know, we're 4 days into a 2-week thing. I haven't really spent much time talking with him. I'm going to be sitting next to him for the next 6 hours. It's going to be, you know, stupid if I don't make some conversation and get to know this guy. And so I said, hey man, I'm Justin. You know, I don't think we met properly before. And he goes, rock. And I said, excuse me? rock. All okay. I was like, oh, rock, great, man. Yeah, good to meet you, man. And, you know, we're talking for a while, and I said, rock, I'm picking up on a like an Eastern European accent. Where are you from? And he goes, And he goes, I'm from Slovenia. It's a small country. He's like, just starting the same rundown that Sasha used to do. And I stopped him because I heard it so many times from Sasha. I was like, oh, no, I know Slovenia. I know Slovenia. He goes, no one knows Slovenia. I'm like, no, I know Slovenia. It used to be part of the Czech Republic. There's 3 million people. It's a little north of Italy. You probably know some Italian. He was like, Yeah. You know Slovenia. How do you know Slovenia? I was like, well, I was friends with a guy in back where I used to live in North Carolina that was from Slovenia. He goes, well, who? And I said, well, I mean, you're not gonna know him, but his name is Sasha Merljack. And he goes, I know Sasha.
Oh my gosh, man, that's a trip, man. That's
crazy. I've met two people in Slovenia my whole life. They know each other.
That is hilarious, man. That is awesome, man. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I was telling, there was a story that we were talking about the other day. We were talking about this type coincidence type stuff. You know, like when you think about somebody, you know, your phone rings or whatever. And so there was a guy that I went to school with, and I hadn't seen him in a long time, years. And he's from Argentina, and I was on tour, and we were in Argentina, and I just, my mind, as soon as I saw it on the list, I'm like, oh, Joe, you know, thinking, because he was in the state, lived in the States, and I didn't know that if he, you know, what happened to him. I figured he still lived in the States. So what happens, we go to Argentina, we play the first show, and when I walk into the venue, Joe is standing there, you know, and it's like, it's just so strange, man, that like, that happened, you know, and the circumstances that happened, and he was only there for just a couple of minutes to grab something before he was out of town. He was leaving to go out of town. He was going to go drive something up to like Brazil or something, you know. He was going to be gone for a long time. But those kinds of things are just like, it doesn't make any sense, you know. It's like,
it's pulling on the threads of the cosmos.
It's crazy. Dude,
Barry, I didn't have a chance to tell you this the other day, but like, Art Lord played Art Lord and Self Portraits, was, you know, the old band that I was in, there are now Future Islands. But we played in New York City three times. And each time that we were there, we randomly ran into somebody that we knew from Greenville, North Carolina, where we were based out of. The first time we ran into the guys from Valiant Thor, we saw Benny at a record store, and then we saw the rest of them. The second time we saw Michael Edwards, who used to work at East Coast. You probably know if you saw him. And then the third time, we were playing a show in Williamsburg, and we didn't have a place to stay that night because it was like one of the last nights of our tour. And so we were just, you know, we were playing a show, and then we were going to figure something else out afterwards. But we were at this bar, and this girl comes up to me, and she was like, Adam Beebe? And I turn and I look at her. I'm like, Alex Bott? And it was a girl from Greenville.
Oh, wow.
And she's like, what are you doing here? And I was like, I'm on tour with my band. You know, we're playing a show here. I was like, what are you doing here? She's like, I live like a block away or two blocks away, something like that. And she's like, I don't even normally come here. I just came down here tonight.
That's crazy,
and
man.
And so, and so we ended up crashing on her floor in her apartment. And she, like, graciously hosted, like, there was, I think, like, nine dudes. Wow. There was us. There was another band from Raleigh that were playing. And, you know, and we all threw down hardcore that night. And, yeah, and she, like, called her, you know, her boyfriend. She was like, hey, I'm bringing nine dudes home. They're gonna crash on the floor, and like, because he was already asleep anyway. So yeah, and we just we walked there to her house, and like, yeah, it was insane. It was crazy. That's cool.
Well, the touring life is such a different world anyway, you know. Mm-hmm. You live in a bubble, and then when these types of things happen, you're just like, what is going on here?
Yeah, you know? It's weird. Everyone's everywhere, you know, and spread out, but because it is a community, you know, like, it's like news travels fast, and everybody knows each other, and you know, in some form or fashion.
Right. Absolutely, man. That's awesome. Great stuff, man.
Cool. All right. Well, Justin, thank you very much. we appreciate you telling those awesome, fun stories. And this is a time where we say, you got anything to plug?
Yeah, man. And I appreciate you having me on. This was fun. I like doing this stuff. I've got this act called One Trip Little, and it's explained it. I usually tell people it's two parts outlaw and one part gospel, and it's I have a band. Sometimes I play the show solo. Sometimes I have the guys with me. It's it's my primary thing that I do, and I never say no to anything. So but if you want to check it out, it's onetriplittle.com, and I got a album out called Cheap Bibles, and it's I'm real happy with it. I hope other people like it too. But it's but if you like, it's got a lot of storytelling songs, and so it's got some good stories.
Awesome. Follow us on our journey through the weird wide world on our social media sites. Our Instagram is What's Your Weird Story. Remember that your is spelled Y-E-R. So that's WHATSYERWEIRDSTORY. You can find us on Twitter at What's Your Weird. We have the What's Your Weird Story podcast Facebook page. We're also at www.whatsyourweirdstory.com. Feel free to drop us a line through any of the social media platforms. Just remember that the What's Your Weird Story podcast doesn't exist without your stories. If you have something interesting and weird to share, please get in touch.
Well, those were some awesome, fun stories. Life on the road, dude.
Yeah, great stuff.
So, yeah, if you've been in a band or been a groupie and you've been on the road and... you've seen something weird, you did something weird. If it's a good story, we'll love to hear it, man. We're not going to judge.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. And next week, Barry, for episode 6, I'm finally sitting down and I'm finally going to tell my tale.
Oh, awesome. Looking forward to it.
That's going to be a lot of fun. And I've got a friend who has a story that leads into it and he doesn't even know. So
I can't wait to hear it. So before we get out of here, we've got a bonus for you guys. This is Justin's band called One Trip Little. The name of the record is Cheap Bibles. The song is called You Win Some, You Lose Some, You're Lonesome. Please go download the album and support independent music. Also, make sure to check out our webpage and Instagram for the drawings mentioned in the story.
I'm a fool to think you would love me, even though I'd be glad to see you go. My heart can't take me mistreating. I'll be gone with the morning glow. Cause you win some, you lose some, you're lonesome. That's just the way that life goes. Just when your prayers are answered, fate comes and takes her toll. I saw you in the street this morning, you walking arm in arm with another man. Maybe if I'd done things a little different, but I know I've done all I can. You win some, you lose some, you're lonesome. That's just the way that life goes. Just lost when your prayers are answered. Fate comes and takes her toll. Barroom. I've been drowning here since 9 a.m. I was thinking that you were my angel, and the jukebox spins that sad song again. You win some, you lose some, you're loud some. That's just the story of me. You're wondering why my tears run dry. So it may be. You win some, you lose some, you're lonesome. That's just the way that life goes. Just when your prayers are answered, fate comes and takes her toll. You win some, you lose some, you're lonesome.
As always, if you have a weird story, we want to hear it.
If you have a lot of them, we want to hear them all.
We can't do this podcast without your invaluable contributions.
Whether it's sharing your stories,
listening,
rating,
and spreading the word about the podcast. Thanks for listening. Till next time, be safe.
Be weird.
The stories presented on the What's Your Weird Story podcast are, to our knowledge, true experiences that our guests have had. We can't take the time to research all claims made, and besides, it's just not as fun.